Good morning and welcome to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. Conti Law is your legal concierge, and we focus primarily on estate planning, estate administration, tax planning, and elder law. This morning, we're going to discuss something that is near and dear to my heart, only because it affects me, and I'm a perfect example. We're going to discuss estate planning for parents who become parents older in life. Typically, at least in the past, couples were having children earlier on in their 20s, late 20s, you know, having their last child early 30s. In today's day and age, it's more common, I think, for couples to start having children in their late 30s, early 40s. Even look at Janet Jackson. She had her first child at the age of 50. Now, that may not make sense to you, and this may not apply to you, but it is very common. So I had, my husband and I had our twins when I was 35. And people were shocked that that was our first children. And that, you know, if we were to have more kids, let's be honest, I'll be 40 quite soon. And so it really is important that regardless if you are having your first child or your fifth child as an older parent, we want to make sure that certain things in your estate plan are up to date. And what I mean by that, if you have adult children and you're just having a newborn, then your current estate plan may not make sense for that child if something were to happen to you, God forbid. So in this show, I'm going to use myself as the example rather than talk about other clients, although this is common with my clients. So let's say something were to happen to both Jason and I. I want to make sure that I have the appropriate guardianship language in my documents, naming somebody who's able to care for my children if I'm unable to do that, or if my husband is unable to do that. So in my will, or even in a trust, we would put the information in there to have someone act as my kid's guardian. Because if I don't put down who I want and who I approve to take care of Zach and Zoe, then the court is going to ultimately make that decision. The court doesn't know my children. The court doesn't know me. They don't know if the person who the court would choose is the ideal person to take care of my kids. So here's the perfect example. My brother and sister-in-law do very well for themselves. They don't live here. They live in Germany. They travel the world. They have, in what some people would see as an ideal life, excess wealth, freedom. Even though they work, they're not tied to their job, so they have more time than most working parents. Now, they are parents, but their son is older. They would be an ideal candidate if, God forbid, something were to happen to my husband and I, to take my kids and raise them. They'd be able to give them everything that they could ever possibly ask for. Now, that may not be perfect, because then we don't want my kids to be spoiled either, but on paper, they are the perfect candidates. And let's be honest, I love my brother. I love my sister-in-law. They are great people. They could not handle 2 4-year-olds. My husband's family, on the other hand, are local. They're here. They have children. They're around our same age. My brother is only a couple years older than me, but his family dynamic is much different than mine. And so we made that conscious decision that if something were to happen, I'm not going to burden my parents, who are in their late 60s, early 70s, with young children, with toddlers. Although on paper my brother would be an ideal candidate, I'm also not going to take my kids out of the country. I'm not going to take them out of what they're used to. And so we made that decision that although we would be able to fund their life if we both died, we have, and this is our next discussion, but we would be able to put whatever we have into a trust for them to take care of them. They would then go and live with my husband's brother and his family because they have young children. They're used to the schedule of going to practice, going to dance, going to school functions. They have a schedule. They're very structured. These are some of the things the people don't necessarily take into consideration. And not that the court would be doing a disservice, but these are things that I am making that decision for everybody else. So nobody has to make that tough decision down the road if something were to happen. Now, as circumstances change, if everybody locally moved away, or if, let's say, they didn't have kids, or they didn't want my kids, I mean, that quite frankly, can happen as well. The guardian can say, you know, originally I agreed to this, or maybe they didn't even know they were named in the document to act as that guardian, but it doesn't make sense for me. So we make sure in our documents that we put backups in place. I want to make everybody's life as easy as possible in the event something terrible happens. Not only will they be grieving, but then they have this entire legal matter to take care of. Obviously, it would get done, but it's the fact of taking decisions off their shoulders so they're not burdened with them. So in our documents, we said, if Ryan and Stephanie are unable to take our children for any reason, and it doesn't have to be a specific reason, it could be because they're just unwilling or unable to at that time, then in that instance, my brother and his wife, Scott and Sarah, would take my children. Now, in our family, and I'm not sure if it's just because I do this for a living or if I'm more open with our families, everybody knows of what our plan is and why we made this decision. Regardless if they like it, if they have questions, we were there to answer those questions prior to anything happening. So there is no gray area. There is no, well, I wonder what Michelle would have wanted. I wonder what Jason would have thought in this instance. We're all on the same page. And quite frankly, it comes down to what my wishes are, right? It doesn't matter if it makes somebody uncomfortable. It doesn't matter if they don't agree necessarily with what we chose. I've had grandparents come in and say, that doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't my daughter have given her children to me? And it's not because they don't love you. It's not because they don't respect you. It's because maybe they don't want to burden you with raising babies all over again. And that was actually the decision as to why I did it. I adore my parents. I adore my in-laws. It's just that they've already raised their children, and why burden them with toddlers when they're supposed to be enjoying this time of their life and freedom, and they don't want to be tied down. Now, they didn't say that, but that's my opinion. I want them to be able to visit and to continue their relationship as grandparents without the burden of having to act as parents at that stage in their life. We're going to continue talking about this topic, but if you have any questions or concerns, or if this rings true to you, I'm going to give you our information. Conti Law, we recently, well, I shouldn't say recent, within the past 2 years, we opened up in Moon Township. Our new office is in Moon Township by the airport. Our telephone number is 724-30. No, I'm sorry, I'm giving you the wrong number. Our telephone number is 724-30. 784-0239. Our website is www.contilawpgh.com. And if you have any questions or concerns, or you want to discuss this matter further, reach out to us. And obviously, with your permission, we would then discuss your questions on the air. But I know that this holds all too true and is very common for my friends. All of my friends are having their children later in life. They're in their 30s. I have a friend who is 40, trying for her first. So this is common. So these are things that are new and that we need to think about and discuss and make sure that we plan appropriately. This also holds true. I've had clients who already have their children and they have adult children who are possibly in college, who are out of college and have jobs, who are living on their own, who maybe are having babies of their own. And maybe it's a second marriage. Maybe they're having their new children with a new partner later in life. I have a client right now that she has three children who are all over the age of 20, and she just had another child, and that baby is under one. And so it gets you thinking that you don't necessarily not want to take care of the older ones, but now you have this new baby who has different needs and different requirements, excuse me, than the older children. So we want to discuss guardianship. But in addition to naming a guardian, you may also want to set up a trust for your child or for your minor children so that your assets are set aside for them as they get older. If they're a product of a second marriage, a second relationship, this may be particularly important. And let me give you an example. So for my kids, my children are small, 4-year-old twins. If we were to pass away, legally, they can't get the money at the age of 5 because they're 5. But they could get it at the age of 18. And in my opinion, and what I've seen, an 18-year-old, a 25-year-old, they should not be coming into a large sum of money. They're irresponsible. They're immature. Now, obviously, there's exceptions to the rules. And my kids are so young that I don't know what they're going to be like when they're older. But being cautious and conservative, my husband and I set up a trust that would be funded for them upon our passing with our stuff. That stuff can be your house, the proceeds of your house, the proceeds of a vehicle, your life insurance, IRA, 401k, annuities, investments, bank accounts, whatever it is that you have. What we chose to do is to fund their trust so they would have a guardian, right? And that guardian is the person who takes care of them and their well-being. So that person is seeing them day in, day out. They're living with them, acting as the parents, taking care of them. The trustee of their trust, in our case, is somebody different. It doesn't have to be. And I'm not saying that the guardian wouldn't be an appropriate party to act as the trustee of their money, of their stuff. But I'm cautious. I like two sets of eyes. I want to make sure that my money is being used for my children and for nothing else. So in this case, we named my brother as the trustee. He could oversee the funds and he could make sure that the terms of my trust are seen to. In our example, we said that money would be invested and set aside, and my children would not receive a distribution of that money until they attain the age of 30. We did a third at the age of 30, a third at the age of 35, and the remaining balance at the age of 40. I've had other clients do a direct distribution at 25 or 40. The oldest distribution age that I've personally drafted was for a lady who said, I want my son to retire before he gets this money. He will not get a distribution until he turns 67. Now, this is all based on your personal preference and belief. If in the interim, back to my example, my brother acting as trustee, if he needs to get money out of that account for any health, education, maintenance, or support matters, it's called the HEMS standard. So education is clear. So if my kids need tuition paid, doesn't matter what level of education. And you can be very specific as to why the trustee can invade the principal prior to the age of distribution. So if there's medical matters, my brother could write that check. If they need to pay tuition, he can write that check. If they need a reasonable vehicle or a down payment on a house, he can write that check. Now, that's not necessarily always standard. That is just what we put in our document. So it's up to you and what you're comfortable with and what you allow that trustee the power to do. Obviously, they're going to manage whatever assets are in that trust. And their job is to protect and to preserve those monies for the beneficiary. If you have older kids and then you have this new baby or a younger child, we would be able to set some aside possibly for the younger child's college education or just their daily needs. Let's be honest, if you pass and you have a child in diapers, and I know this all too well, I had two kids in diapers at the same time. It costs a small fortune. Food, education, sports activities. My nephews are both very active in football and hockey, baseball, and it's astounding what my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, what they pay on a monthly basis, hockey especially. I would want my children to be able to do those things and to enjoy what otherwise they would be able to do if I wasn't here. So that's that trustee's job, what they're able to do. They are able to go in and pull money out for that child. It's just disallowing that child to have access to that large sum of money. And again, I don't care if this sum of money is $10,000 or $10 million. And it comes down to what you are comfortable with. Are you comfortable with an 18-year-old getting a large sum of money? And I'll tell you a quick story that I tell a lot of my clients. And I had, and I believe that I've told you this in the past as well, and this happened years and years ago, and I've been on this show for years and years, so I apologize if you've heard it, but I had a gentleman back in 2008 who he was raising a grandson, and he was leaving everything to his grandson. His grandson at that time was in his early 20s, maybe late teens, and I mentioned to him we could put what's called a remainder trust in his will so that even though his grandson would be the beneficiary, it would be held so that the grandson couldn't go and blow all the money. And I don't know if it was because the grandfather thought he had much more time, but I like to be realistic. We don't know when our time is going to come. Life can change in an instant. And in his case, he passed much sooner than expected. And so when he passed, his grandson received a large sum of money outright at the age of, I believe it was 22. And he showed up in my office with a brand new Bentley. Who am I? I don't know if it was brand new or used, but I know he spent about $300,000 on this car. I'm not big into cars, so I don't know if that's used, new. I just know that he misused the money, and that was not his grandfather's intention. His grandfather expected him to invest that and to allow that money to grow and be there for him when he was older, not to go and buy a vehicle that was going to depreciate the second he drove off the lot. Without planning, without putting those stipulations in, there was nothing anybody could do, even if it wasn't the grandfather's wish. There was nothing any of us could do to say, no, you can't go and buy this vehicle. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, but it really sticks in my memory because he was of legal age. He could do whatever he wanted with that money because that money was his. It doesn't matter if it was a bad decision. So this is why I feel it's very important to make sure we tie up those loose ends so that the same thing doesn't occur for you, for me. I don't want my kids going out and buying a Bentley. I don't want them going out and buying a whatever, a Toyota. I want them to have, if they need a vehicle, a reasonable vehicle, a used vehicle. They don't need anything fancy. But again, those are my opinions. I have other clients who disagree, and that's fine. Before we finish up the show, I want to repeat our information. Conti Law, we're here to educate you, to guide you, to answer your questions. We can be reached at 724-784-0239. Our website is contilawpgh.com, contilawpgh.com. Give us a call. Send me an email, Michelle with one L, michelle, at contilawpgh.com. And if you have any questions or concerns, I can address them on our next show. The other thing you need to consider, and if you're just tuning in, we're discussing planning if you're an older parent, if you're having children later in life. We've discussed the necessity of guardianship, potentially a remainder trust for those kids. Another consideration is retirement savings. I work with a lot of financial advisors, and I've heard them say, we need to prioritize saving for your retirement versus saving for your child or children's college. And let's be honest, I have student debt. Your kids are able to more easily get student loans rather than you borrowing for retirement. It's easier. When I was in school, now this was a long time ago, they were throwing money at us. One of the advantages, however, of being an older parent is you may be more financially stable. Depending if you're retired when that child goes to college or not, they may qualify for more financial aid. So these are things that we just got to keep in the back of our mind, that let's make sure we protect and preserve what you have for your life so you don't run out of money. And again, we don't know when you may pass, but I'd rather take care of you rather than you having to come out of retirement to get a job. I've seen this happen. It's very sad. You may say, well, I'll give my kids X amount of dollars for a down payment. I'll give my kids money to pay for college so they don't go into debt. But in the same breath, we need to make sure you're preserving your own funds for you and your spouse so you have money to take care of yourself. To recap in the last few minutes here, I have a lot to talk about planning for yourselves if you're an older parent, planning for your child as soon as they turn 18. That will be our next show. So if you're interested, tune in, because there are certain things that you as a parent may think, well, my kid's only 18 years old. They're not old enough to make this decision. They can't tie their shoe, let alone start an IRA or make a medical decision. But under the law, they are adults. They are their own person at the age of 18. Before attaining the age of 18, God forbid something happens to you, we want to make sure your children are well taken care of and that whatever you have passes to who you want it to be. Maybe you set aside some money for a spouse and the rest for a child. We want to make sure the guardianship's in place, a remainder trust. We want to make sure everything is set up. Plan for the worst, hope for the best. That's the end of our show today. Thank you for tuning in to Conti's Law. If you have any questions, give us a call, 724-784-0239.